Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. Hi. You listen to 5G Sports Talk. I am Derek Taylor with my awesome, awesome co-host, Hakeem Adey. And we're definitely going to burn it down, tear it down tonight with some of the topics we have. It's definitely going to be a full and no lie, some controversial 2 hours. I promise you that, because some of the things are going to come out of our mouths, not everybody's going to like, but we deem it as being the truth in our eyes. We're going to cover the NBA, talk about the Bobcats and their list of people that they interviewed for the head coaching position. Also, my Lil Wayne cry fest in OKC. The NBA draft, we're going to analyze it. Which player is going to be a success, which are going to be bust, and why. Also, there's a little speculation out there, Joakim Noah in a trade for Paul Gasol. It's not like it's hard, but that has been floated around. Everyone knows Derrick Rose is definitely off limits. Obviously, he got the new deal. But the Bulls need to find a way to get over the hump. So, Joakim Noah, Bulls ain't going nowhere. Anybody taking his contract? Nobody. And his skills that he showed he didn't have. Also, we're going to talk a little NFL. The least clutch players in the NFL. The least. And you're going to be surprised who made that list.
Wow.
The least, yes. And we're going to have some baseball talk. Johan Santana's no-hitter. And power rankings. Power rankings. Adey, fill us in what you got on tap for us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, of course, it's yet another wonderful day to talk sports. And that's what we do. We talk sports in a whole nother level. We talk sports not in 4, not in 3, not in 2, but in 5G, on 5G Sports Network. And, of course, the drama continues to unfold in sports, in the sports universe. So we have everything to talk about. I mean, there's so much going on in sports, everything from John Santana, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He got his very first no-hitter for the Mets. Awesome, awesome. Got to say that. We're going to talk a little bit about Michael Vick and the media scrutinizing him for turnovers. Yeah, that's right. The media is scrutinizing Michael Vick, getting a little tired of that, getting on my nerves, so I had to bring that up. We got a little Clash of the Titans, but I ain't talking about the movie, though. Matt Hasselbeck versus Jake Locker. The clash for QB1 in Tennessee. That's right, it's going on. Well, we're going to talk about Hero, an NBA pro who's died recently, Orlando Woodridge, died at the age of 52. It's an unfortunate case and scenario. We're definitely going to talk about that and some of the fond memories we have of Orlando. We definitely want to talk about the arrival and the anticipation of AD, Anthony Davis. Eric Gordon is in New Orleans, and he's excited about the possibility of having Anthony Davis as a teammate. We're going to talk about all those things. Celtics versus Heat, Spurs versus Thunder. Oh, man, it's a lot going on. Brandon Royal, will he return to the NBA? Is it so? Out of retirement? Who knows? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a little bit of that. Lil Wayne gets booted from OKC? Really? That's what's happening? They say we don't need no rappers up in here. Okay, we got to talk about stuff like that. Diddy's son, Justin, receives a scholarship. But wait. People are upset and they don't agree with him receiving a scholarship. We're definitely going to talk about that nonsense. That's just ridiculous. Floyd Mayweather goes to jail, and I'm not talking about Monopoly either. No, this is not a board game. This is reality, guys. Yeah. Kobe Bryant auctioning a game of horse. Yes, right, for his charity. We're going to talk Kobe and charity. Good stuff. That's right. There are NBA players doing the wonderful things out of the spotlight. I know he didn't broadcast it around the world, but he is doing this for a charity. And also, I want to talk a little GM talk in our GM corner, and we're going to focus on the beloved New Orleans Hornets, who are pretty much the spotlight team right now after the lottery draft. Even though they're at home fishing, they have a promising future, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, yes, I do have a little bit of L.A. Confidential. I forgot to mention that. Oh, yes. We're going to talk about buying ammonium. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That
so much more. So much more. We'll stop right there. That's what's on tap, though.
That guy right there, Andrew Bynum, man, if he really lived up to his potential and stopped being such a knucklehead, if he just stopped being a knucklehead sometimes and just play the game, man. But speaking of knuckleheads, I won't start with this knucklehead just yet, but talking about the Bobcats and some of their moves that they're looking to make this off season. The first and most important move that they're trying to make this offseason is not trying to draft a replacement for Anthony Davis. No, first they're going to need somebody that's going to guide the team, a head coach. The Bobcats have interviewed just about anybody and everybody that's available to be a head coach, except for Stan Van Gundy. He's the only one that haven't made his trip to Jordan's office. But the list of people that have made their way to MJ's office for this head coach in his head coaching position, Nate McMillan, former head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Jerry Sloan, we all know who he is, former head coach of the Utah Jazz, took him to two NBA championships just to fail to Michael Jordan. Sucks to be that. Sucks for that. Michael Malone, he's an assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors, Stephen Silas, Nate Tibbetts, Dave Juergens, Patrick Ewing. Yes, Patrick Ewing is the only one that is definitely not getting the job. He's the only one that everyone knows will not be hired. That sucks for him. He must have had a horrible interview. And Mike Dunlap, if you don't know who he is, he's the head coach of the St. John Red Storms. If he gets this job, he'll be the former head coach of the St. John Red Storm. If Michael Jordan has anything to do with it, he'll probably hire that guy because he's the guy with the least NBA head coaching experience out of all the others. So that's the guy he might try to shoot for. Brian Shaw, like I just said, was interviewed for the position. He has 5 championship rings, 3 as a player, 2 as an assistant coach with the Lakers. He was under Phil Jackson for 2 seasons, learning the triangle offense, learning Phil Jackson's methodology of teaching the game of basketball and motivating players to get the most out of them. I honestly believe Brian Shaw was going to be the heir apparent to the Lakers, but he wasn't. They picked Mike Brown, and they're watching the playoffs. I think Brian Shaw will probably get a better job than Mike Brown. Brian Shaw is the assistant coach, over there in Indianapolis. And they got put out, not to him, because their head coach, Vogel, did not take advantage of Miami's weakness. But Brian Shaw definitely knows the system. He's been around great talent, great players. He knows how to manage egos. I think he deserves a shot at being a head coach. And if the Bobcats do pick him, give the man at least 2-3 years to do something with that team, because let's not forget, there's not a whole lot of talent on this team to begin with. They need help at every single position. And I'm going to talk more about that on draft picks later on. What do you think about these? Who should take the Bobcats reins and try to lead them to some victories?
With regards to some of the players, you think you're asking me if I think that they have a chance with you.
Oh, the coach. Yeah. Because the player that they don't this draft is not going to fix their problem. They still need a coach that can get them going. Because this draft is not going to save them.
Well, I like Brian Shaw. You know, I've always liked Brian Shaw. In general, I personally would prefer him to coach a team that's worth coaching, and not the Bobcats. You know, I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, the Bobcats right now, I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Bobcats. I'd rather his first job, you know, be in L.A. I mean, that's just me personally. I know Mike Brown is there, but I would much rather see, you know, Brian Shaw after him in L.A. You know, that's in my mind, that's like his job. Really, the job belongs to him. But, you know, somewhere else where he can possibly, if George Karl retires sometime soon, Denver wouldn't be a bad place for him.
I agree.
You know, to go and work with some of those guys. But definitely not the Bobcats. I mean, I don't like that for him. But I wouldn't mind seeing Nate McMillan. And
Jerry Sloan?
I like Jerry Sloan. I like Jerry Sloan, but I mean, the problem for Jerry Sloan is that the issue that he had in Utah was one thing, and so I wouldn't want him to have another experience where, in this case, he has to butt heads with the GM instead of a player. So, me being a person who really, really respects Jerry Sloan, and I actually like Jerry Sloan as a coach. He's actually one of my favorite coaches. And that's why I wouldn't want to see him. But I like Nate McMillan, but I just know that Nate McMillan, he has tough skin. And Nate McMillan, he's already dealt with a situation where, you know, he pretty much was booted by the team. The team pretty much kicked him out. And so, I feel like it's the ideal spot for him, because one thing about Nate McMillan, he could take the hardest, most ever. He could take adversity and make the best out of it. So I think he's the perfect guy for a situation like this, because anybody you throw into this position, adversity is really going to become their middle name, Nate McMillan the entirety of his coaching, coaching tenure, he dealt with, you know, pieces and parts falling apart. You know, he would come in with one team, and by the end of the season, he would have a totally different team. So, and he always superseded expectations with the type of team that he had. He always did over and above what was expected. So I think that he would be a great choice and a great fit for the Bobcats.
You're right. You are right, because definitely with Portland, one minute he got Brandon Roy, next minute he doesn't. One minute he got LaMarcus Aldridge, next minute he don't. Then he get Gerald Wallace. And I mean, it was a revolving door up there in Portland, and he still managed. I mean, he thought he had Greta Golden, then he didn't have him. Then he did have him. He made the most out of what he had that was consistent. You know, then the Jamal Crawford thing going on, and the Raymond Felton. I mean, he did the best he could. He really did. So, yes, he definitely does thrive in adversity. I think players will definitely respect him in Charlotte. I think Jerry Sloan would be a good coach for – I think Jerry Sloan would be a good coach and a bad coach for Charlotte. He'd be a good coach because he runs the master of the pick and roll. That's what made Karl Malone and John Stockton who they are. And that the pick and roll is basic, but still has its complicated components to it. But overall, it's still a basic system. It's just all about executing. And this young Bobcat team don't need any extreme dynamics of basketball thrust upon them just yet. So he can keep it simple, but robust at the same time, to where they can adhere to the play calling. They feel comfortable with their role. They feel comfortable with the play calling. They feel comfortable with the flow of the game. The bad part about it Jerry Sloan is too old to be coaching the young age players that's in there now. That was part of his problem out there in Utah. You got a young Darren Williams and an old school head coach in Jerry Sloan that didn't really know how to bend a little bit. Right, Darren Williams should have bent a little bit himself. But, again, it's about relatability to your players. You know, it's one thing. It's something in sports, period, when you have a team that believe in their head coach and right behind their head coach and really feel that they and the head coach have something in common. Most of the time, the head coaches are in their 40s and 50s. They understand that. But just to understand the player himself, you know, and the ups and downs of just being in the NBA, not even on the court, but also off of it, and know how to manage these kids, is going to be a big thing. And I don't think Jerry Sloan really can handle that just because of his old school mentality. I don't make him a bad coach, but I don't think that'd be a good fit for the Bobcats themselves. Just like to put out, you're right, I think maybe it'll be a good fit. Brian Shaw, another young head coach, young coach, that I think could do good things there. But that would be a tall, tall order. I think he can do it. I think he can. I think he can. Tell me what you think about Lil Wayne and his little crossfit at OKC.
Oh, it was a beautiful thing, man. I salute OKC for letting entertainers know that, you know, there will be no special treatment. and I can respect that. I mean, you know, oftentimes, you know, because of who we become or our clout or our leverage, you know, we get certain types of favors. And you know, nothing's wrong with that, but I'm fine with someone saying, no, your name is Little Who again? No, you're not on the list. Where's your ticket? Like, you don't know who I am? Yeah, no, we don't. But I just got a call. Well, you got to get a ticket. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. I mean, you know, and if he has a big deal and was upset about it, I mean, that goes to show you that it was actually, he needed that. He needed that experience to know that, you know, hey, guy, you're still a regular person just like everybody else. Sometimes we got to be reminded, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm going to tell you, you know, first of all, Lil Wayne's a damn fool, right? You cannot be a Spurs fan and think you're going to show up at OKC and they're going to welcome you with open arms and courtside seat. No, they're not. You're in OKC and you're cheering for the rival team in their house? Are you serious? You could have been the president. You ain't getting no seat if you're a Spurs fan. They don't care. And I agree. They should be that way. This is a playoff game. Both teams are fighting head. Tonight, Spurs lost. Series tied 2-2. These two teams are going to go at it. Go at it. You really think they're going to have an extra cheerleader on the court for the rival team, on the sidelines for the rival team? Hell no. So, Lil Wayne, look, you just wait till they get back to San Antonio and show up then. Because you ain't going to get no love in OKC this time of year, at all. And it's appalling that you thought they were going to give you a ticket because you go away. You must have been high then. You had to have been high then. If they were going to give you a ticket, you being a Spurs fan, really? Come on, bro. Come on. They ain't talking about he feels like he was mistreated or something like that. Really? Really, guy? Come on. It just, what do you call it, tomfoolery?
Exactly.
That's just all that is, man. That's just some tomfoolery, man. Like, get out of here with that. Tomfoolery. Crying because he couldn't get into a OKC game, and he was Spurs fan. Come on, man. No one's going to do that. Would you let him in? If your team's OKC, would you let him in at the front and be on courtside cheering the Spurs on while you're in Oklahoma? Would you?
Absolutely not.
See, that's what I'm saying. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Jack Nicklaus couldn't got a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Jack Nicklaus probably tried to go to OKC to watch the Lakers play. They told him, hey, Jack, hey, your money's no good here. You might just keep it moving. You might just keep moving. And I don't blame them. Them fans were OKC, where OKC was trying to be something. You know, nah. Lil Wayne, get over yourself, guy. Right? Go take your million-dollar headphones and go listen to your music, all right? Anybody try any of that, you'll be all right. Speaking of somebody being all right, like I said earlier in the I know you said we had a Joakim Noah has been tossed around lightly in trade talk for Paul Gasol. If I'm the Bulls, the Lakers don't really have anything that I would want for Joakim Noah, other than Andrew Bynum. Because if Joakim Noah is gone, they lose their toughness in the middle. Because Carlos Boozer is as soft as silly putty. And you add a Paul Gasol, you got one soft guy playing with another soft guy. Really? Really? I mean, next thing you know, oh my goodness, my son, there's a show, what do they call them? The Twiggies or something like that? You know, the Twiggers or something. These guys, they're some of the nicest people on TV. I can see it now. Paul Gasol saying, hey, man, stop pushing me. You want to say something to him, Carlos? No, man, you want to say something? Like, come on, dude. Somebody got to be the grown man in the paint. So, no, I don't see Paul Gasol going to Chicago. That would be a tremendous step down for the Bulls. Not the Lakers, because the Lakers definitely going to come up. They're going to come up because you just added more toughness to that front court. But like we said last week, if we're the Lakers, we'll make a play for Josh Smith or Paul Gasol. Josh Smith and Andrew Bynum together, hey, they punching everybody in the mouth and taking names. Ain't nobody coming in the paint uncontested. With a Ron Artest throwing elbows, hey, you never know. But Paul Gasol for Joakim Noah, I wouldn't do that. What do you think of that?
I mean, you know, absolutely not. I'm not. There's no way I'm trading. Now, Carlos Boozer, maybe? Yeah, he can go. I'll trade him for Josh Roberts. But for Joakim Noah, absolutely not. I mean, as you just said, that makes no sense. Why would you? You got one guy who plays absolutely, you know, contributes absolutely nothing, which is Carlos Boozer. Then you're going to build another guy that who isn't a self-starter, somebody that you have to rev up and get stirred up. I mean, and neither one of them have toughness. Plus, you have to stir them up because you know, these guys are not self-starters. You know, they don't ignite themselves. So I definitely don't want another person that I got to get stirred up, you know, on the court. I mean, it's just not going to work for me. Josh Smith, absolutely. We can talk then. But definitely not. Paul Gasol, I mean, I think people will probably laugh. They would laugh the Bulls franchise out of Chicago for making that trade.
I agree. Like I said, you know, it's nothing like actual, you know, anything done about it, but it's definitely been floated around. That could be a possible trade talk. Will it happen? Heck no. If that happens, dude, oh my goodness, the Bus family should just sell the team. That's just it. You know, I mean, I'd rather take back Lamar Odoms before I make a trade like that. There's no way in the world I would do that. No way in the world I would do that. I'd just be asking for trouble. Just asking for it. OKC won tonight. We'll talk about that real quick. They tied the series up 2-2. How do you feel about OKC's chances of beating the Spurs in a seven-game series? Because this series is going seven. Ain't nobody walking through this one easy.
I definitely believe it. It's definitely possible. I think that, you know, the deeper that this, you know, the longer that this series progresses, that the possibility of OKC winning the series becomes likely, more and more likely, because you're looking at the youth of the OKC in comparison to the experience of the Spurs. And I believe that although, you know, the Spurs have a mixture of youth and seasoned players, I believe that the young legs of the OKC Thunder might just overlap the Spurs if we get to seven games. At this point, though, I really want to see what's going to happen when they go back to San Antonio. That's really going to be the difference maker. That's where we're going to find out what's happening. I mean, if the Spurs close it, then, you know, then we know what's going to happen. You know, it's get ready for the finals. If they can't close it, then there could be some trouble, because that's the key. The key is if OKC can get one game in San Antonio, Houston, we have a problem. But in this case, San Antonio, we have a problem, because if the Thunder get a win in San Antonio, there's definitely going to be a problem.
You know, I'll say this. This game tonight was a big win for OKC, not just because they needed to win to keep from going down 3-1, but also Russell Westbrook didn't shoot the ball really tonight. He took only 10 shots. Don't believe he did that, but yes, he only took 10 shots, and he only knocked down two of them, and they were three-pointers, and he pumped in a free throw. That's it. He was basically non-existent. No Russell Westbrook tonight. And James Harden didn't have a great game either. He went 4-for-13. He had 11 points. 7 rebounds and 7 assists. He did contribute, though. But as far as on the offensive end, he didn't give a whole lot. But he played well. And I think he just said, I'm going to focus on Ginobili and take him out the game, because Ginobili had only 13 points on 4-of-7 shooting. He only took 7 shots. I think Harden said, I'm just going to focus on this guy, and I'm going to just make life difficult. And when Steven Jackson came in, he said, I'm going to make life difficult for this guy, because he only went 4-for-6 as well. You know, so he neutralized two of their players off the bench just by playing tougher defense on them, which helped them offset Westbrook's lack of shot attempts, I guess. You know, he just didn't. The big story of this game, though, Tim Duncan, 21 points, 8 rebounds. He's played 35 minutes. Tim Duncan's playing like this is 5 years ago. You know, he's playing like it's 5 years ago. But he wasn't the only one playing. Serge Ibaka, as well as Perkins, showed up tonight. Ibaka, 26 points. I'm really amazed. 11-11 from the field, perfect from the free throw line, 3 block shots. But Kevin Durant, 36 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Down the stretch, if anybody saw that game, down the stretch, they were just giving the ball to Kevin Durant and basically saying, do what you do. And it was key, it was clutch moments, because if they missed a shot, the Spurs is running back to cut the lead to 5, to cut it to 3, maybe even tying the game. But he's hitting shot after shot after shot the last 2 minutes left in the game. And that's just straight clutch. Again, I don't know how LeBron James won the MVP and Kevin Durant did, because LeBron did not show up and beat the Celtics in game 3. He didn't show up. He had the final shot, and that was it. They missed overtime, so which that game was fixed. Hey, you listened to the show earlier this week. I said what I said about that. But what do you think of Kevin Durant's and OKC's play as a team in this win?
Well, definitely. I first have to say that Kevin Durant was robbed of the MVP this season. It is very evident in his on-the-floor gameplay, his demeanor, his class and professionalism on and off the court, and his willingness and relentless ability to bring his A game so consistently and to be one of the most dangerous scorers on the floor at all times. He's a top three. You know, I would say he is a top two scorer in the game right now. He's one of those guys that not only is he clutch, not only is he a closer, but he's almost unstoppable. I mean, he has the ability to be unstoppable, because if he ever like peaks and gets really evolves into all of his abilities and realizes, like, literally, dude, you like 7 foot. Once he realizes, that no one can hold him inside or outside, you know, the NBA is in trouble. The Thunder is going to be excited, but everybody that he faces is going to be in trouble, because, this guy has the potential to really be not just a Hall of Famer, but one of the deadliest, most lethal scorers we have ever seen to touch the court. Because one thing about Magic Johnson, and I just have to touch about Magic Johnson, he was a 6'9 point guard.
Yeah.
6'9. That's rare even to this day. So when you get a shooting guard, that's pretty much 7 foot. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, he's pretty much 7 foot tall. He's a two guard. He could probably run the point guard as well. And the guy is going up against guys that, I mean, come on, who's 7 foot at the two guard? I mean, what, Turkoglu? Really?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. For real? Seriously? So you put KD, at the two guard. Who's going to guard him? Is LeBron going to guard him? Nah. It's not going to happen. Who are you going to put on him? You have nobody. And once he realizes the fact, because I don't think he totally gets it yet, how dangerous. He's getting there. He's getting there. But once he really realizes that nobody can stop him, man, watch out. But the OKC as a whole, man, they're a scrappy team. You know, they're blue collar, they're hard nosed, they're a team kind of team. They play together, and that's the reason why they're having such success right now, and they're holding their own with the Spurs, because you have two teams going head to head that are really about team and not about individuals. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to witness. It's probably the best series we're going to see in the NBA playoffs this year. This is the real championship, if you really want to be honest.
Yeah, because whoever wins this one is going to win the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whoever wins this. I mean, everyone says Miami, San Antonio and OKC are the most talented teams left in the playoffs. They were one of the most talented teams going into the playoffs. Miami wasn't even seeing them, because Miami isn't one of the most talented teams in the league. They're not. They have three of the most talented players, but they're not a team. You know, they're not a team. If one of those three have a bad night, they're going to lose. You know, just so happened that they caught a lot of breaks. They played an injured Knicks team. They played a poorly coached Pacers team, and they're playing a tired, broken Boston's team. You know, they haven't been put to the test yet, but I'm going to tell you this. One thing I can say, if you look at Kevin Durant and LeBron James, be honest with yourselves. I want you all in the chat room and whoever's listening out there, you need to be honest with yourself and look deep inside your heart and soul and ask yourself, if the game was on the line and it was a minute left, who do you want with the ball in their hand, LeBron James or Kevin Durant? I don't know about you. I'm taking Kevin Durant. Because why? He's a good passer as well as LeBron James. He makes solid basketball plays. If he don't have the shot, he can find someone open to take the shot. But this is the advantage he has over LeBron. He can hit those clutch shots. He's done it multiple times. No one's ever said Kevin Durant shrink in big moments. Look at tonight. He couldn't get no bigger than this. It's either go down 3-1 and be done or tie it 2-2. Then if you foul him, it don't matter. He's going to go to the foul line when he shoots just about 90% from the foul line. Where LeBron gets to the foul line, you don't even know what you're going to get. It may go down, but most likely it won't. We've seen LeBron in those moments miss free throws. Let's not act like we've never seen it. I'm not going to discount the other 47 minutes of the game. I'm not going to discount it. But when the game is on the line, that last minute carries far much more weight than the whole part of the game. Because that means you did all that for nothing, because you couldn't seal the deal. I'm not saying he has to hit all the walk-offs and everything. That's impossible. Jordan missed his fair share, more than his share. But it's LeBron James' unwillingness to really take that last shot, or how nervous he is with the ball in his hand at that moment. But Kevin Durant relished in that moment. The Spurs, deep. OKC, deep. The Spurs, you can go up and down this roster. Parker, Duncan, Leonard, Ginobili, Jackson, Neal, Blair. Them guys can all play. They all can play. We've seen them play. That's a lot of people. That's starters and bench right there. You know, that's six players, seven players? That's seven players deep. OKC, really? Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka, Perkins, defensive purposes, but they're going to bring it. They're going to make you work for it. Then you got Harden. Come on. Harden coming off the bench. You got Derek Fisher's leadership, and he knows all these little dirty little tricks of the trade to get over on you. Okay? Talented at every position, and Miami just only have LeBron and D-Wade. That's it. He'll be back. But how will he be at 100%? I doubt it. And Miami's still weak up front because Bosh getting fouled, so he'll be right back where he started from. And both these teams have low post players, and they have good coaches. And I'm going to tell you, the Miami Heat's not ready to go against the Spurs team with great Pop, with Pop coaching. They're not ready. So you're right. The real playoffs, the real finals is going on right now. Spurs, OKC, is going on right now. So that's what that is. Moving right along, we're going to talk some NBA. I know you got LA Confidential. You want to kick that off?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's time for our favorite drama, L.A. Confidential, where the City of Angels, the City of Angels is not quite celestial going right now. So what we want to do, we want to touch on something that's going on in the L.A. franchise. As you guys know, L.A. came up short this year. They didn't quite get to the ring. They didn't quite make it to the finals. In fact, they didn't quite last, you know, very long in the playoffs. So, we still have COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a situation. They actually have a few situations, so to speak. They have a few situations. Two of them go by the name of Paul Gasol and Andrew Bynum. And the question is, what will they do with these two individuals? Well, there's discussions going on at this moment. That's the word on the street. People are trying to figure out where to move Biden. This is what is being talked about right now. The also discussion is on the table is what's going to happen at the point guard position, because Sessions will be a free agent, and he didn't quite deliver in the way that they hoped that he would, because he wasn't as consistent as they hoped he would be. So we're not going to put, you know, full blame on Sessions. I wouldn't. But let's be honest, he wasn't what they thought he was going to be. You know, because they were hoping for a certain type of point guard. And also we have to understand this, you know, Bynum may be gone. Gasol may also be on the trading block. We're not sure if that's going to happen. But what is this? There's also talk of could it be Brandon Roy coming out of retirement as a Laker? How much does he have in the tank? That would be the question, because if this is true, if this is factual, and if this is actually going to happen, this much I can say about what we did see from a beat-up Brandon Roy. We saw an amazing display in the playoffs. That was from a beat-up Brandon Roy.
Yeah.
So let's say he still has something in the tank. Let's just say that. And let's say he can play full season or season. This would give the Lakers a chance to definitely be competitive. But it will also bring us back to that question, the age-old question, what to do with Bynum or Gasol. Who do you trade? Do you trade them both? Do you keep one or the other? What do you do with this situation? And what's the best situation? Because if you get a Brandon Roy, which is a big guard, a big point guard who can score, who can pass, who can facilitate, a self-starter, somebody who doesn't need somebody to get him off, he can get himself off. And he can get everybody in the flow of the game, somebody that Kobe probably would be able to trust a lot more, because he's a big guard, so he would give some matchup problems. You know, the Lakers would be able to give some other teams matchup problems because they would have two of the biggest guards in the league, which, you know, that could be a problem, you know. Yeah. And so let's just say they keep buying them and they keep Gasol. Let's just say so you have the two biggest guys in the front line and you have two of the biggest guards in the league. I mean, that could be a little intimidating.
Mm.
And it can get interesting in the event that they actually do, you know, go with the Brandon Roy experiment, so to speak. I mean, if he has something left in the tank and this actually happens, I mean, this could be great news for Lakers fans.
It could be, and it could be a catastrophe. Because one thing that's hard to overlook, if I'm a GM, the one thing that's extremely hard to overlook, you know, I say it's like relationships. You know, if you and a person broke up, that means there was an issue that you just couldn't resolve. So don't get back together, because you didn't resolve that issue. It's going to come back up again. It will, right? But that's why I feel about Brandon Roy. No matter how good he was, I don't trust his knees. He retired because of his needs. You know what I'm saying? He retired because of his needs. You know, it's going to be hard for me to take that risk that, okay, a year off and your knees gotten better. And you're going to go through the 82-game grind and playoffs, because Lakers are always expecting to make the playoffs, and I do expect them to make the playoffs next year. They're just too good not to make the playoffs. And you're going to ask this guy to take wear and tear. I mean, the best I can tell him is like, look, we'll give you a 3-year contract, and after the first year, if your knees get bad or whatever, I mean, also got to look at the insurance he got to have on his knees, you know. And he's not a starter. You're going to be my sixth man. I got to save your body. I want to get the most out of you without running you so many minutes because it takes a wear and tear. And I don't unless he went to Germany and got the Kobe operation, it's hard for me to trust his knees. You know, it is. That's taking a risk. He may be fine. He may not be. But you're talking about millions and millions of dollars in mistake money with this new CBA. That is very unforgiving to going over the salary cap. So unless he'll come in and take, you know, like say, hey, dog, check this out. We'll give you a contract for 1 year, pay you $1 million. We're going to play you your fair share of minutes. We're having a contract. You have to play this many minutes. So if you do ball well, you'll be a free agent. You're basically auditioning for the rest of the league. And we're using your services at least for this year to see how far we can go with you. You know what I'm saying? It's just that the fact that he retired because of his knees scared me on him coming back as if his knees are as if he had the Kobe surgery. I don't know. I can't knock his talent. He can still play ball, but can he do it for a long period of time? That's my only concern with Brandon Roy. And Paul Gasol and Bynum, you already know how I feel. If Josh Smith won out, you trade Paul Gasol for Josh Smith. He wants out, you know. And if Dwight Howard really does stay in Orlando, because Orlando's trying to give him an ultimatum. Either you sign a new contract or we trading you behind. We ain't going to let this drag out a whole other year. If you sign the new deal, hey, Bynum's is going to have to be a Laker. Y'all got to figure out how to deal with it. If Howard is willing to leave, I'll swap him out because both of them are have 1 year left in the contract anyway. Both of them become free agents at the exact same time. I don't know about you, but they both could have some convoluted plot to team up. Hey Dwight, hey, Bynum, hey, dog, hey, let's become free agents together and go to the same team. That's a possibility. Look what LeBron James, Dwayne Wade did. Really? Listen, I'm not throwing that. I'm not acting like that's not a possibility out there. I mean, Dwight Howard did get Stan Van Gundy fired. So, I mean, the Lakers got a lot to think about, but first thing they need to do, go get Josh Smith. He don't want to be in Atlanta. He says it every single year. I want out. Go get him. What do they have to lose? What do they got to lose? Nothing. What else you got for us over there? I know you got athletes off the clock. Well, you know, we could do the GM's corner right now, actually. Because after the clock, you got some feel-good things in there. We want to end the show on a good note, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if we're going to go ahead and get into the GM corner, you know, that's definitely one of my favorite segments. And, you know, I've decided, you know, to talk about the beloved New Orleans Hornets. And, you know, I wanted to talk about the beloved Hornets because there are so many things, you know, going on in their favor right now. They won the lottery. It looks like they're get Anthony Davis, first-round draft pick, most likely. And they have an impressive shooting guard by the name of Eric Gordon, who's excited. I mean, this guy is very excited about the possibility of playing with Anthony Davis. We know that's going to be who New Orleans is going to draft. They have the number one draft pick.
Yep.
And there's a lot of good news for New Orleans because let's just look at the team as a whole. Let's kind of examine some of the key parts. We're not going to go through the whole roster. But they have a solid point guard in Jerry Jack, right?
Yep.
They have a nice power forward by the name of Emeka Okafor, right? They have a nice, solid big man by the name of Chris Kaman. Hopefully they can hold on to that guy because he's pretty good. They got a young guy by the name of Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah, he's a good shooter. Yes.
Yeah, you got Trevor Ariza. You know, he's He's a savvy little veteran. Played very real well with the Lakers. He needs, I think he needs, you know, just the right flow, you know, to get hot again and to get back to his mojo. And of course, you have the number one draft pick. Now, what I like about this team is New Orleans Hornets, their team payroll is $66,574,887. However, with they're going to be spending, you know, that's their budget. That's what they try to stay within. Now, what they'll be spending in the 2012-2013 season is $36,844,045. And by 2013 and 2014 season, that will be reduced to $24,771,967, which means that they can go ahead, resign some of the guys that they need to sign, including Carl Landry. But also, you can get a solid point guard, a solid backup point guard for Jared Jack. There's a plethora of guards out there. I mean, if you ever wanted a point guard, this would be your year to get one because, oh, they're out there. I mean, and we have so many. You know, you have our favorite, one of our favorites. We got Raymond Felton's out there, right?
Yes.
You got Andre Miller's going to be free agent. You know, you may not be able to base Steve Nash, but he'll be a free agent. So
yeah.
That's the reality. And there are a few more point guards that's out there, you know, that are looking and lurking, such as Jason Terry, and you know, Darren Williams. If you going for the big bang, Jamal Crawford is going to be out there, and there's a few others that don't come to mind right now, but. But like I said, there are many point guards out there, and if I was New Orleans, that is the piece that I would be going after. I would be looking for a solid backup point guard, and possibly either a nice backup power forward or a solid backup center would be good to have, just to have, you know. But I think if they keep the pieces, that's more importantly than grabbing all those other pieces. If they, you know, sign the pieces that they have, especially those whose contracts are up, if they can get them to recommit and just at least get an extra quality backup point guard, I think they'll be a very good contender. They're in a strong conference. But they have some great pieces.
Well, what I like about the Hornets, you know, we all know what their record was last year. It was bad. That's why they had the number one pick. They sucked. But I'm going to tell you this. The New Orleans Hornets, this is kind of funny. It just hit me just now as I'm sitting here. The New Orleans Hornets got the same luck that the New Orleans Saints did. And I'm going to say it like this. The year the Saints drafted Reggie Bush, right, that was already a borderline playoff team. Hurricane Katrina happened. It sucks playing all your home games away. You know what I'm saying? That takes a toll on anything. So they had a bad year, not because their personnel was bad, but just due to the situation, right? This year, the Hornets was bad as well, right? They were bad. But not necessarily because of the talent that they had, just because of the situation. The attendance is low. You got no owner. It was a lockout. You got all this Chris Paul. I want to leave. There's a whole lot of things going on in New Orleans. They lucked up to get the number one pick. Now, if you look at this roster, like my co-host said, it's not that they got some bums on this team. I mean, if you look at this team already has a defensive mentality. Identity. Trevor Ariza, he's a small forward, but that boy plays defense. He will get all up in your grill. and he's going to make you work for it. He has a little bit of offense. He's like a younger version of Ron Artest, except without the elbows and the palace brawl. But he can knock down his shots. He can get you some threes, but he's going to play hard defense. Then you got Mecca Okafor, one of the best shot blockers in the league. He's averaging almost 2 blocks a night. He plays hard defense every night on the boards and sending shots back at you. Carl Landry is a little bit of some of everything. You know what I'm saying? Give you some rebounds. He's a solid body to help box out, help you control the boards. Chris Kame, another one. Big guy, rebound, shot blocking, defensive. He's been healthy. Apparently, he's been healthy. And that has been one of his biggest knocks on him, his health. So he's just healthy this year. You know, those guys right there, defense. And then you throw an Anthony Davis in there, who's defensive-minded first. You have unequivocal leverage in the front court. Chris Kame is the center, period. Mecca Okafor can play power forward or center, as well as Anthony Davis, as well as and Carl Landry. He can play small forward, power forward. Trevor Ariza can play small forward or shooting guard. You have a lot of these players that can play multiple positions. So you can always give a team different looks. You can go almost all defense if you wanted to. If you like, hey, we need some defensive stops, you can go all defense and still be solid at every position. New Orleans look real, and have Eric Gordon run the point because he ain't nothing but 6'3". I mean, that team, given the right tutelage, and they need a new head coach. They need a real head coach. If they can get a good head coach in there, this team can really make a lot of noise real fast. Real fast. And they're not breaking the bank on their payroll either. The biggest contract they got on the team is Chris Kame, and then is Mecca Okafor. And Chris Kame, they're trying to keep him. Even if they lose Chris Kame, they need Chris Kame, and they need to make sure they keep Eric Gordon. But if they got to lose one of them, lose Chris Kame. Because you still got Mecca Okafor, and you're still going to get Anthony Davis. You still have two big men in the front court. So Eric Gordon is the key. You got to keep that guy. If you look at this team, he's your only real scorer. He's your only real fluent scorer. Everyone else scores off of transition, good plays. You know, sometimes it's just dumb luck. But this team definitely looks good. Not necessarily playoff team just yet. Like Nicole said, get us a good backup point guard. Jared Jack can go back and forth with whoever they get. And this team has a lot of upside. More upside than down. More upside than down. So the Hornets, wow. They had the golden egg fall in their hand getting Anthony Davis. The golden egg. Speaking about golden egg, that kind of flows into our next segment. The NBA draft. NBA draft, fail or success? You know, the top draft prospects of this draft class. Not even the top draft prospects. Just top. This player is being drafted right now. You know. Starting with the number one pick, obviously, Anthony Davis. Normally, the Hornets picking him up. There's no question. Everyone knows tremendous upside. The boy can block shots. He can rebound. He has some offense. And, oh, let's not forget, he used to play point guard in high school, so it's not like he don't know how to handle the ball. That's a big man that can cross you up. And other big men we all know have a hard time with lateral movement. That's his biggest advantage because he can dribble. He can really dribble, not like Shaquille O'Neal dribble. You know what I'm saying? We all remember Shaquille O'Neal trying to run fast breaks. He can really dribble, and that's going to be his biggest asset to him his first few years. Other big men I was able to dribble, remember Anthony Mason? Anthony Mason, that boy had a dribble. He was hard to guard. He just was a knucklehead. But he was hard to guard because he was a power forward that can literally cross you over like he's Tim Hardaway. His handles was unbelievable for a big man.
Exactly.
And Anthony Davis' handles aren't that deep, but he don't have big man handles either. You know, he don't have big man handles. He have like a Kevin Durant handle. He can get around you with his dribble. So big upside was him. We all know he's going to pass. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. Now, the guy that is going to fail, you know, that could change. Number two, we got the Bobcats. Everyone's predicting Michael Kidd Gilchrist to get drafted, Kentucky small forward, 6'7", 210 pounds. This boy can attack the basket with the best of them. He knows how to get in and around that basket. I don't know. He's not like super uber lightning quick, but his footwork, he gets there. He just gets there. And he causes problems for teams, especially in college, he causes a problem. Will that translate to the pros? I believe it would. I think he would succeed the minute the season starts. Because the Bobcats, who else they really got other than Kemba Walker, who is a small point guard? You know, this guy, I think he's going to take the bulk of the offensive load because he has the ability to create problems for slower players. He can get to the line. He can do a lot of things. He has a pretty decent jump shot. I think he's going to succeed. I really believe this young man will succeed. Bobcat shouldn't feel disappointed in the number one pick because this guy's the second. He's the second. I won't say the second best player, but for what they need, which they need a lot, but he will be a good fit for them. Definitely a good fit. And again, we don't know. Michael Jordan was drafted number three. You know, so that tells you you never know what you're going to get. But I think they might be getting a diamond in the rough with this young kid. Do you have anything to add on that today?
No, I agree. I think, and that's one thing we talked about that this is one of those drafts that I believe that a lot of the best gems, the hidden treasures, and the highest quality of players, they're going to be a lot of surprises. And I think that it's easy to get it wrong by you know drafting people real high up, but I think that some of these people that get drafted a lot lower in the draft will be some of those pleasant surprises for the teams that were smart enough to pick them.
Right. I agree. And that's the thing with these young players. It's all about the system. Washington Wizards on the clock. They got the number three pick. People are projecting them to draft Thomas Robinson. He should go number three, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure if he should go to the Wizards. And if he is drafted by the Wizards, I have him failing soon. I have him having a struggling his beginning part of his career. Why? He's going to the Wizards. Not because the Wizards are bad, but they don't have no real player development system down there. Look at John Wall. It looked like he digressed this past season. I didn't see his game get any better at all. I didn't see him play better. And it's not like John Wall can't play. He can play. He's fast. He's quick. He's very smart. He has good vision. But I didn't see how the coaches or the coaching staff helped him elevate his game. I just didn't see. I didn't see the play call that puts him in good position to make better plays. I didn't see it. So with Thomas Robinson on the clock at number three, the power forward 6'9", I don't see him succeeding in Washington because of player development. This guy right here has a problem himself, and this is where player development is going to come into play. He has a tendency to forget he's 6'9". That sounds funny, don't it? But he forgets he's 6'9". And start selling for jump shots. You're 6'9". Back somebody in. You're 237 pounds. Pull somebody up. He has a tendency to fall in love and rely on his jump shot. He needs to get to the paint. He's strong, very athletic. He doesn't have necessarily a weak game, but he tends to regress during the game depending on who is guarding him. Let's not forget that Kentucky-Kansas championship game. He regressed big time. He starts selling for jump shots. Anthony Davis made him decide to start to be a small forward shooting guard. Instead of him attacking Anthony Davis and trying to get him in foul trouble and being aggressive, he just played small. Without the right tutelage, he's going to get even smaller and be a waste of a draft pick. I'm failing early because of that. Next guy, this guy, I don't think he should be number 4th pick. People are projecting him to be here. And the Cavaliers have the 4th pick. Now, this will sound crazy on me, all right? I said this in the GM corner on YouTube, and I'll say it again. I would like to see Jared Sullinger go to Cleveland. He's projected to be a lottery pick. That puts him at 11, 12, and on up. But I would love to see him get drafted at number 4. I know people will say, that's ludicrous. That's crazy. Why would you say that? I say that because he has enough talent for Byron Scott to work with him. Byron Scott can make this boy play. He can get this boy motivated to play. Byron Scott is a player's coach. He is. Look what he did in Cleveland. Cleveland had a better year than people even expected. And got a rookie of the year out of it. You know. So I like Jared Sullinger, but the knock on him is that sometimes you can seem a little disengaged. You know, he doesn't really seem like he works hard all the time. Those are things you can't fix with the right tutelage. But people have Bradley Beal, shooting guard out of Florida, going number 4. This boy can shoot, all right? He can shoot, no lie. He can shoot. I'm going to tell you this. Ray Allen, he can shoot. This boy can shoot. He's not really too strong on defense. He can play some, but the boy can shoot 6'4", 195, and with a jump shot. He can shoot. Definitely can shoot. The Cavs most likely would draft him. The Cavs' weakest part is, well, they have a lot of holes, but they have no one in the front court. They're very undersized in the front court, very weak in the front court. The back court, Kyrie Irving can anchor that. But if they add this kid, that will make him a better team. But they still have a long way to go because size doesn't come easy in the NBA. Just doesn't. What do you think about, you know, Cleveland's draft pick? Should they go big or should they go small?
I think you have a good point. You know, Cleveland can go big. They can go small. I mean, Cleveland is used in a lot of different parts.
Yeah.
But I think the key is whoever comes in, we know that Byron is great at developing his players. And I knew with you that it would be a great opportunity for that kid that you were referring to. What was his name?
Jared Sullinger. Yeah. Power forward out of Ohio State.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, and I actually like that kid's game, and I agree with you. If he was to go somewhere like the Wizards, that definitely will work out for him. But somewhere like being in Cleveland, I think that would be great to connect with young Kyrie.
Yes.
With Scott, where he can really be developed, where they'll actually nurture his game. And we can actually see the promise of this guy's game and watch him evolve, because that's so key. Like you said, many of today's franchises, for whatever reason, don't seem to have a great development system in place. But it's good to have a player coach like a Byron Scott who does hone in on those type of things and makes it happen and develops his players. I like that, and I think. Whoever he gets, you know, whoever Cleveland gets, we know that they're going to be a better team next year. Hands down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. You're right. Cleveland will be a better team next year because this year they got the number 4 and 10th pick, you know. So I mean, they can still get Southern jerseys. I misspoke. They can still get Southern because I just remember they have the 10th pick as well. If Sellinger is still on the board, they can get Beal and Sellinger. You know what I'm saying? And I think they would have tremendously upgraded their team. They'll be extremely young. No lie, they're going to be young. But, hold on. Give me a second. I'm looking at, give me one second. I really think that they will definitely benefit. I like Sellinger's package. He just needs to fine-tune his game. He needs a little more hustle in him. I think Byron Scott get the most out of him. And I'm sorry, the Hornets have the 10th pick. My fault. I misspoke again. The Hornets got a 10th pick. The number 5th pick, and I'm not going to go through all top 10. I'm going to do top 5 and notable other college players that they're just not going to they might not pan out well. The 5th pick going to the Sacramento Kings, Perry Jones out of Baylor. Perry Jones, I have him. I don't think he's going to do well early, but I think he's going to flourish later on. Sacramento, we all know, don't even have a home. Tyreke Evans, talented shooting guard. Where was he this year? Nowhere. They brought back John Solomon. They sent this guy away just to bring him back again. The GM already showed me he don't know what he's doing. Because, again, the reason he got rid of him is the same reason that's going to be there. You're going to say, why did I bring him back? And last but not least, who's that crybaby, DeMarcus Cousins? That crybaby? Perry Jones is 6'11". He needs the paint, too. So does DeMarcus Cousins. You may see him as competition. They may not get along. Both men are young. I don't know who's going to be the bigger man. But I'll tell you this, Perry Jones has a pretty solid low post game. But the Kings is an organization so disenfranchised it can hurt this kid early on in his career. But later on in his career, he can do like the Chauncey Billups, struggle early in his career and just flourish later on. I believe he's going to do that, just given to where he's going and the situation he's going to be in. You know, he at times could be disengaged as well, a little lackadaisical. But going to the Kings ain't going to help that situation either. It ain't. But, again, tremendous athleticism. He can work hard. He's a workhorse. They just need to restructure the organization to work out for him. And it can also work out the organization because not like they don't have anything there. They just need to figure out how to put it together. It's like a Lego block or a puzzle. Put it together, please. Because you guys stinking it up. Stinking my NBA up. I'm just going to touch on a couple more. We're going to move on out of this. Another hot player in college that I'm not sure a lot of people know about. Really should know about him. Austin Rivers, point guard, shooting guard for Duke. This kid has an awesome jump shot. He's a really good jump shooter. The problem is he reminds me too much of J.J. Redick. That's the problem. He reminds me too much of J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick is a solid shooting guard. The boy can shoot. The problem is he don't know how to create space to create his own jump shot. That's the problem. And Austin Rivers can kind of create space a little bit. He kind of can, but he's 6'4". Most shooting guards are 6'6". That's one problem. Another problem is he can run point, but he doesn't have great court vision because he's offensive-minded. This kid here, he's going to have a mixed bag. He's going to be like J.J. Redick. Was J.J. Redick a failure in the NBA? No. But was he a huge success in the NBA? No. He didn't live up to the expectations, but he wasn't a bum either because the boy can shoot. He's just certain things he just couldn't do. And I think that's where Austin Rivers is going to end up. They haven't projected going to the Phoenix Suns. He will run point. Steve Nash should be gone. If they can't keep Brooks, I think that's not going to work out. I don't think it's going to work out for him, though, early on. It's going to be a mixed bag with him. Another notable draft pick that's going to be out there. And I wonder about this kid because I didn't see a lot of him. We all know Fab Melo, Syracuse, Orangeman, 7'2", 274. immature. Plain and simple. Immature. He is an offensive nightmare when he wants to be. No question about it. The problem is his basketball IQ sucks. He you can get things around on him. You know, he won't read double teams well. He might not even realize when he needs to go double team or help defense. These things can be taught. He can raise that basketball IQ with game footage. But offensively, he's raw. The boy is – he just needs to get in the right system. Again, he's going to get drafted 24. The Cavs got the 24th pick. If he's still there and the Cavs do pick him up, I really believe Byron Scott is going to – I'm going to tell you this. Cleveland is going to have a 500 record next year. I believe in Byron Scott that much. 500 record next year. 500. I'm giving him that.
Wow.
And yes, 500 record next year. They're going to play 500 ball next year.
Hmm.
And it's the thing, you know, if they go ahead and get Beal and Melo or Sullinger still available, they grab one of them. Like I said, Fab Melo is an offensive. The boy's offensive. He's raw. You know, he doesn't. He's like, you know, like Blake Griffin. Blake
yeah.
Griffin's offensive skills is raw. He's raw. He has to learn when to turn on, when to shoot. You know, get a jump shot in there, get a free throw shot. His game is too raw. He's not being polished to where he can be a dominant power forward like Kevin Love. You know what I'm saying? He's not really shoot like Kevin Love. No. But he can still be a real dominant force in the league. That's Fab Melo. He is raw. The boy is raw. He's a little immature. And that basketball IQ ain't that high, but Byron Scott can really work with him. If Byron Scott get this kid and work with him, Antoine Jameson is going to be small forward, and Virgil going back to power forward. You're going to have Beal. You're going to have Kyrie Irving, rookie of the year. They have no choice but to play 500 basketball next year. 500 basketball next year. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm giving Cleveland 3 years to make the playoffs. Next year they're going to be 500 ball and miss the playoff, or they might be a game or two under 500 at worst. And they missed the playoffs. The following year, they just might make the playoffs. Because Byron Scott took a New Jersey Nets team that was disarray and scattered and took them to two NBA finals just after he faced the Lakers both times. That's amazing. He took a bad Nets team, took them to the finals. Look what he did in Charlotte. The Hornets sucked when he took over. And he turned them into a playoff team. He's like the Bill Parcells of the NBA. You know, Bill Parcells get these busted up teams and he fixed them. This is what Byron Scott does as well. He's fixing Cleveland the right way. Like I said, Cleveland's going to play 500 ball. And you can, like Skip Bayless said, you can book it. 500 ball next year. Cleveland's going to do it the right way. And I'm going to be, even though I'm a Knicks fan, I'm going to cheer for Cleveland. I am. Because I like Byron Scott. I like Byron Scott. I would want him to be my head coach any day. So, I'm booking it. You hear me? I'm booking it. Cleveland. 500 ball.
Got your ticket?
Huh? Yeah.
You got your ticket?
Yeah. Yep.
$500 ball, okay.
Yep. William Darrow said, he hates to admit LeBron James will get a ring. Help me, Tim Duncan. Don't worry. LeBron ain't getting no ring. San Antonio is too deep.
LeBron's getting a ring. You didn't know?
What?
He's getting a ring.
Huh?
He's going to get a ring. There's a...
He'll get a ring?
Yeah. No. They have those bubblegum machines right there in Miami. They have a strip. Plenty of rings and necklaces, you know, he could get the whole collection. Not one, not two, but
dude, I'm gonna tell you, man, I don't even, you guys are wife, I don't even say, like, I don't even put my phone on mute anymore. I don't even put it on vibe. I call it, put it on LeBron.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just gonna say this. I gotta say this. I think LeBron is gonna see a couple of rings, and those rings will be in the bathtub.
I'm gonna tell you this though. All jokes aside, if Miami don't win it this year, they ain't gonna win it. They're just not going to win if they don't win it this year. There's no way in the world. This is a shortened season. A lot of teams are caught off guard. The season started off janky. If they don't win it this year, they're not going to win it. They're just not. There's no way they're going to win it. And
yeah. You're right.
That's when you ask who got to go. And that will prove once and for all, you can't win a championship by building super teams because it just didn't work.
No Avengers team?
Look, super teams. Look what happened to Boston. Boston got the big four. They said the big three, but Rondo showed he deserved to be in there. You know, the Fantastic Four, okay? And out of that, they only got one championship, and they beat the Lakers that didn't have an Andrew Bynum. They had Paul Gasol running center. We all know how soft a city putty he is. So, Miami, I don't believe it. I ain't drinking that Kool-Aid. They had the easiest road to the finals. The Spurs had one of the easiest road. They played teams that everybody know in their sleep. The Jazz and the Clippers, really. OKC's had the hardest. They had the hardest road to the finals. The hardest. The former champions, the champions of 2 years ago, and the Spurs, who's legendary. Really? You know, so... So, I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy. We're going to move real quick. We spent a lot of time on basketball. We're going to hit up this football. Everybody know Tyrone has got fired from his own team, right? Yes, he did. That's still the running joke of the week. He got fired worse than Craig did on Friday. Get fired from a team you own? You own the team. Well, not own it, but minority owner. But, yes, you still have taking the team, they fired you. You know your career. You know you're done when you get fired from a team that you partly own. You're done. That's if you didn't know, now you all know. T.O. got fired from an arena football team. I mean, hey T.O., if you're listening, I can start a league. You know, it's gonna be a flag football league. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
You can come try out. Shoot, my son might be playing football. So, hey, his team needs a wide receiver. You know, hey, there's always space for you to play somewhere, baby. You know, but let's talk about the NFL, though, shall we?
Now, oh, absolutely.
I got my list of players that are not clutch at all. They're just not clutch.
Wow.
Least clutch players. Now, I know everybody's going to have a comment on some of these. Everybody is, especially one of them, that most people are going to be like, really? You put that guy on there? Yeah, I did. Right now, I'm going to start off at number 9, Michael Crabtree, wide receiver, San Francisco 49ers. Now, you may ask, why would I put Michael Crabtree up here, right? Because he was the one, he's a Virginia Tech holdout that says he wants to get paid as if he was the number 3 pick, even though he wasn't. And you know what he did the past playoffs for the Niners? 5 receptions, 28 yards in 2 games. He had 5 catches for 28 yards in 2 playoff games. Really, Michael? Really? 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 Right. No clutchness at all. He got paid money he didn't even deserve. That's why he lost his spot to Mario Manningham. Randy Moss didn't take his spot. Randy Moss already had a spot. He's Randy Moss. But Mario Manningham took Michael Crabtree's spot. He's not clutch at all.
Wow.
At all. He's not. five receptions in two playoff games for 28 yards, I can do that. Hell, if I get five catches, I'm getting way more than 28 yards. I'm going to do the Jerry Rice and run them slant routes like a beast. I'm going to catch and run, you know? Catch and run, baby. Don't worry about me going deep. Catch and run. Number nine. This one some people may have a problem with, but I checked it. No, this guy, no. Michael Turner. You know him. Running back for the Falcons. He ain't clutch either.
Wow.
He averages on the season, he averages around almost 5 yards a carry during the regular season. That's good numbers. But he suffered from LeBronitis. You know what LeBronitis is? When postseason comes and big moments come, he tend to get the sniffles. Really? 3.5 yards a carry. And a total of 112 rushing yards in three playoff games. Three playoff games, he only amassed 112 yards rushing.
Is that more of that LeBron Baganda?
Yeah. It's LeBronitis. You know, it's contagious. I mean, this guy is not clutch. He get paid a lot of money. People say he's a solid running back, and he is. In the regular season, he is. Regular season, he can be a real beast. He's a workhorse. But come postseason, because I'm going to tell you this. This is what I say about football. Sports, period. Yes, it's easy to have a good record, because all season you're going to play your good teams, you're going to play your bad teams. Yes, you're going to win your fair share of games against your good teams. But people are going to book, you're going to beat the bad teams because they're just that bad. But when the playoffs come, you're playing a good team every day. Same thing in football. Every Sunday, you're playing a good team because you're both in the playoffs. That's when it comes down to do. This individual still shows up. And Michael Turner, he does not show up at all. What do you think of Michael Turner, you know, not showing up? I mean, three playoff games and only 112 yards in three playoff games?
Yeah, that's definitely not going to work. I mean, we could look at the season of the Falcons, though, and it really actually exploits Mike Turner. But when you really look at it, because you're right, in a regular season, you know, he was solid, did his thing. But, yeah, you definitely a no-show in the playoffs. I mean, let's look at the Falcons. I mean, the running game in the playoffs, it was like, it just wasn't present, man. It was like they took off. It was like, okay,
yeah,
we come to play up, but temporarily we don't have a running game. I'm sorry, we didn't bring the running game with us to the playoffs. We do have to apologize.
Yeah, we left him in the regular season. I'm just trying to figure out, dude. How do you rush for 1,000 yards the past 3 years and you only combine for 112 yards in three playoff games? I don't
get like that LeBron Baganda.
Yeah, it is. I got some more LeBron Baganda for you. Number seven on my list, Peyton Manning.
Ooh.
Yes. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Wow.
The best regular season quarterback. His December numbers, Peyton Manning in December. Because, you know, December, that's when it comes down to if you're making the playoffs or not. All right. Peyton Manning, December record, 37-19. He gets you in. But once you get in, you're getting shown the door. He's 9-10 in the playoffs. You know, and I'm going to tell you, he had a worse record than that. Before they won the Super Bowl. Because, mind you, they had to win, you know, I think it was like three games they had to win, including the Super Bowl. You take away them three games, those 10 losses are still there. You know what I mean? So he was 6-10 until he won the Super Bowl. 6-10. Peyton Manning, I'm sorry. No, he's not clutch. 9-10 in the postseason. That, especially with all the things he's done in the regular season, breaking records left and right. You know, everybody's saying he's on pace to break a lot of Brett Favre's records. and you got one ring and you have a below average, below winning percentage in the postseason, Mark Sanchez got a better winning record in the postseason than Peyton Manning. That's Mark Sanchez. I'm not going to talk about his brother, really. Manning has thrown 19 interceptions in the postseason. He's thrown 19 interceptions. And he has a quarterback rating of under 90 in the postseason. His quarterback rating is less than 90 in the postseason. This is a guy in the regular season, quarterback rating of 98, 99, 100. Postseason, it goes away. It goes away. He completes less than 58% of his passes in the postseason. I bet y'all didn't know that. This is Peyton Manning, though. We don't want to talk about those numbers. This is Peyton Manning. He doesn't show up in the playoffs. I don't care if you get me to the postseason. They don't make regular season championships. They don't make them. They just don't. If they made regular season championships, Peyton Manning would have a ton of them, but they don't. I don't care. It's nice you got me to the playoffs, but what are you going to do when we get there? That's like getting all dressed up for the prom. You got the limo. You got the corsages for the girl and everything. You go to the prom with her, and she dances with somebody else. Well, why go to the prom then? It's like, why make the playoffs if you know you're going to get booted out the first round? That's all I'm saying. Regular season, yes. Postseason, for some reason, what do you think about that? What do you think about them numbers?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. The first thing that came to my mind was who is the better Manning? And I'm just going to say it's just not looking real good for Peyton, right? I mean, baby bro, man. Can I get a ring? That's what. I mean, you know, when you think about the record, I guess Peyton and Beyonce have one thing in common, man. You know, and that was before Jay-Z. What was they saying? Put a ring on it, because man. You got one ring, but, I mean, come on. Baby bro is going. He's out there getting rings, man. Put a ring on it, man. What's going on?
Put a ring on it. Oh, man, that's cold-blooded. Put a ring on it.
It's like you said, when they go into the playoffs, you need to be prepared to put a ring on it. If you're not going to put a ring on it, don't go to the playoffs, man. Stay home. Go fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one. Chad Ocho no show.
Ocho
no show. His playoff career sucks. I'm not going to even talk about this past season. I'm not. Because we all know what happened. We all know what happened, right? We all know what happened.
He's a great actor, though, right?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to talk about his postseason when he played with the Bengals. In the Bengals, he recorded 6 receptions for less than 90 yards in 2 playoff games. In 2 games, he had 6 receptions. That means that's average 3 catches a game. This is the playoffs, baby. 3 catches a game? That's it? For you know what I mean, for 45 yards, you're averaging 3 catches and 45 yards a game. Why would you even think you should be a Hall of Famer? You know what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about last season. The one when he was in Cincinnati when the last time they made the playoffs. You know what happened to him? It was called Darrell Revis. He was stuck on Revis Island. Yeah. Sucks to be you, buddy. Ocho no show. You get number 6. Moving right along. Carson Palmer. Remember this guy? Everybody's like, hey, he's a great quarterback and all this. USC sent the Bengals to the playoffs quite a few times, and he's 0-2 in the postseason itself.
Wow. Andrew Luck? What'd you say, Plum?
Yeah, I know, right? And in the month of December, he's 13-14. He has a losing record in December, the crucial month. I mean, he's thrown 27 interceptions. In the fourth quarter alone, over the course of the last 4 seasons. So in the last 4 years, he's thrown 27 interceptions in the fourth quarter. the quarter which you don't want to turn the ball over. You don't. But the Raiders have put went all in to get this guy. Draft picks. They did everything to get this guy from Cincinnati. Everything. And he's not going to give them anything. One of your boys made the list.
Oh.
Jay Cutler.
Oh, wow.
10-12 in the postseason. I'm sorry, 10-12 in December. 1-1 in the postseason. I give him one because he played hurt, but and I you know, offensive line issues, but, you know, he was picked 5 times in the final quarter, in the final quarters, fourth quarter, and quarterback rating of 60.5. You ain't going to win too many games in the postseason doing that. You're not. You're not going to win too many games, period. Doing that. So, but Brandon Marshall is there. That should change. That should definitely change. He should have a bigger target. Like I said, he didn't have no real big targets to throw to. So I put him on a list, but it's not like he is just going to stay there. He can't have fallen off this list. You know. Now I'm going to tell you who's not falling off this list. Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's at number 3. And he's going to be number 3. I would think about making him number 2. But he's number 3. Why? His December record, he's 10-4. That's good. He gets you in. But he's 0-3 in the postseason. Did you see the last playoff game? They played the Giants. They got mollywopped. They only points came off of safety. 24-2. Wow. That's how they lost. That's how they rolled. Let's not forget, not last year, but the year before last, when they played Green Bay in Atlanta. The Packers just blew them off the field. It was like the Falcons wasn't even there. Matt Ryan was horrible. He looked like Tim Tebow out there. That's what he looked like, Tim Tebow out there. He couldn't hit nothing, nothing, nothing. And he had Rowdy White, so there's no excuse. And this year he had Rowdy and Julio Jones and Tony Gonzalez and Michael Turner, and he still stunk it up. Choke. Captain Choke. Captain Choke. And I'm just going to tell you who's the king of choking. Tony Romo. He's king of choking.
Wow.
10-15 in the month. Yes. He plays more golf. He plays golf better than he plays the quarterback position in the postseason. He's 1-3 in the postseason. He's 10-15 in December. He plays golf better than he plays in the postseason or in the month of December. Just hard. We all remember what happened in Seattle, the botched field goal kick. He handled, fumbled it. This year alone, the Cowboys needed to beat the Giants to make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? It's win or go home. That's like a Super Bowl game. You know what I'm saying? Win or go home, a playoff game. They're playing a playoff game the last game of the season just to make the playoffs. And he couldn't get it done. He could not get it done. He just couldn't get it done. And the Cowboys are too talented for him not to be able to get it done, but he is one of the big reasons. His erratic passing. Regular season, before December, Tony Romo put up some numbers like you wouldn't believe, but for some reason, when it comes crunch time, LeBron taps him on the shoulder. Hey, I'm here. And then his talent leaves. So that's my list of least clutches players. I know you had a list of oversized contracts for underperforming players. Let's hear that one.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh, excuse me. Absolutely. I like to say, ridiculous contracts or most poisonous contracts. These are NBA players, of course. Well, I'm going to start with the last one on the list. And some of these names might surprise some people, but, hey, I'll put them on the list because I believe these are some toxic contracts. So I got number 5 is who probably should have been number one. I start off with Joe Johnson. Yes, that's right. Joe Johnson in Atlanta, 4-year contract, $88 million for Joe No Show. That's what I call it. That's right. Joe Johnson was known as a pretty good shooter. But most of that came before that he got the contract. Oh, he was good in Phoenix. Oh, he was good when he arrived in Atlanta. But ever since that contract, I just got to tell you, he's been Joe No Show. Now, he talked about Ocho No Show, but this is Joe No Show. Because Joe Johnson does not show up. He does not show up in the playoffs. He barely shows up in the regular season. I'm trying to figure out, at one point, did they discover that this guy was worth $88 million? Yeah, he's still better than Carlos Boozer. I admit it.
Yeah.
That guy's plumb awful. But he's still Joe No Show. So, Joe No Show. In Atlanta. Joe No Show, $88 million, 4 years. A lot of wasted money in Atlanta. Yeah. I have for my number four guy. My number four guy is Ben Gordon. Yeah, I say that. I know. I know there are some Ben Gordon fans out there. I get it. You like Ben Gordon. I'm not mad at you. But for 2 years, $25 million for the Pistons, who were toilet bowl terrible. When I say toilet bowl terrible, that's bad.
When the team is so bad
and people say, oh, man, I think that team is going to be good or at least be solid. But, I mean, Detroit was like there was no effort, you know, on the court, no energy, no enthusiasm, just it was as if they came to lose. It's like, oh, you ready to lose today? Huh, yeah, Ben, you ready to lose? Yeah, man, I came ready, man. I'm ready to lose, man. How about you, man? I've been thinking about this loss all day. I mean, really? So 2 years, $25 million, down the drain, in my opinion. So it was only right that I put another person from the Pistons on the same list. I mean, you know, why let Ben Gordon have all the fun? So I added one of his comrades, put him in number three, and I gave you Charlie Villanueva. That's right. You know, CV, young Charlie. Yeah, 2 years, $16.5 million, down the drain.
Yeah.
Because this guy's been absent. I mean, when's the last time we had a discussion about Charlie Villanueva? I mean, in the NBA.
He doesn't exist.
No, probably today. You know, it's getting ready to get interesting because we're at number two. And, of course, we have to go to the Magic Kingdom where Dwight Howard reigns. But, oh, no, it's not Dwight Howard we're talking about. No, I know it's a surprise. It's a shocker maybe for some. But that's not who we're talking about. Who we're talking about is Mr. 2 years, $23 million. And I'm talking about Hedo. Hedo. What they should call him, he don't. What he don't do, he don't show up. He don't win. And he ain't too productive. Because Hedo Turkoglu for 2 years of $23 million was a bust. He was a bust when you had him before, and he's a bust when you brought him back. He was actually sort of better when you had him the first time. But you got rid of him for a reason, right? And then you're going to bring him right back, huh? As if something was going to magically happen that he would play better than he did in Toronto. Now, if he sucked it up in Toronto, I mean, you really think he's going to come to the Magic and be like an all-star all over again? Nah. Not at all. And number one on my list. Number one. number one on my list. This guy, 3 years on a contract, $21 million. Mister, I used to play overseas and they brought me back to the Suns, the land of Phoenix. Josh Childress. Now, I know you're saying Josh.
Oh, my God. This guy?
You know the guy with the big afro. He actually makes $21 million. That's right. He's the same guy that you forgot that he was even on the team. He was like $21 million for the guy on the bench. Yeah, that guy. Josh Childress. Terrible contract. $21 million for 3 years.
Wow, that guy jump shot is so ugly. Like, you can easily block his jump shot. It's like he almost put it in your face. I remember a couple of shows ago. Well, not a couple. It was a while back. Some guy called in, and he was dead serious. I wish I was joking, but he was dead serious. He was saying Josh Smith is one of the best players in the league. And I said, you have to be high to believe that. You have to be high to really believe, really, Josh Childress? I'm sorry, Josh Childress is one of the best players in the NBA. I said, really? This dude, best season, he averaged 11 points. That's it. Spud Webb did better than that. Muggsy Bogues did better than that. And these guys are tiny. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Wow, Josh Childress, really, they gave him that much money?
Absolutely. $21 million for 3 years.
Man, I tell you, man, that whatever GM thought that was a good idea, man, I tell you, man, we in the wrong business. We're clearly in the wrong business. How do these guys get their jobs? Jeez.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got their jobs. I don't.
Yeah, it's like I said last time. It's as if we were, it's like watching politicians.
Oh, wow. Got a couple other news notes out there. O.C. Mariota came to agreement with the Giants on restructuring his contract. Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to see him leave. You know, they got their own version of NASCAR right there. You know, and Eddie George, I'm going to tell you, you know what? I'm about to. These athletes piss me off. Sorry if I'm not supposed to use that word, but I just have to. I just read this article by Eddie George, right? And I just saw this guy about 2 weeks ago. It's so funny. I even got his sister's phone number. It's kind of funny how I got that, you know. But anyway, this guy right here, all that money he made, his Tennessee home is about to go into foreclosure. Foreclosure.
Wow.
Yes, he's made a gang of money. But his house is being foreclosed. Apparently, it's going to be auctioned off fairly soon if he's not able to save it. You know what I'm saying? If he's not able to come up with the, I think it's like $800,000 to $1 million, something like that. That house is gone. You know what I'm saying? It's gone. He's going to lose it. And what makes it even worse, not just for him, just these athletes. You heard about Evander Holyfield, right?
No.
Oh, man, that's another guy. Bankrupt. Wow. He owes, yes. This man has made a quarter of, let me get this right. Yeah, he made a quarter of $1 billion. He made a quarter of $1 billion. And he's bankrupt.
Wow.
He owes. Yes, yes. That guy owes, I think, like $300,000+ in just back child support alone. Wow. How do you make $225 million
and you're
going broke? You made $225 million. You have no right to go broke. You have no right. Dude, you have no right. You could take $100. Dude, he could have been taking like half of his earnings. Let's say he makes $50 million on a fight, right? He takes exactly. $25 million to put it away and keep the other $25 million for himself. You see what I'm saying? So that means that $225 million he made, if he would have just put away $112 million, $112 million away, and spent the other $112 million, he still would have been good. Because if he would have took that $112 million and just put it in a high-yield savings account, he even got to really invest it. He could put in a high-yield savings account. He could have made his CD pyramids with each CD at like $2 million a CD. You know what I'm saying? $4 million a CD. And the return interest on it was like 3%, 4%. He could have lived off the interest. The interest off of that much money in 1 year, he's getting about $10, $12 million. You could live off of $12 million. But no, he filed a bankruptcy. Just like Warren Sapp, just like Terrell Owens. And Ocho Cinco ain't going to be that far behind them. You know what I'm saying? Just like Tracy McGrady, you know, you got all these athletes that made gobs of money. And look at them. They're all going broke. Fast money don't stay for long. Better invest your money right. I read that and I was like, Holyfield going broke? This man made a gang of money. That's how much he actually made. He's about to lose his home. I think like $20 million home. He's about to lose that. You know what I'm saying? Then I see Eddie George. He's about to lose his home. I'm like, are you simple or are you just stupid? It's one or the other. Because you can't be simply stupid. Be either simple or stupid. And apparently some of these guys are just simply stupid. That's all I got. They're just simply stupid. But, hey, let's end this show on a positive note. You said some athletes off the clock. What do we got?
Oh, well, let's start off with Kobe the Closer. Kobe the Closer is doing his thing. Kobe is auctioning a horse game with himself. That's right. If you like Kobe Bryant, like many of us do, he's auctioning a horse game with him, and all the proceeds benefit they're going to his foundation. Kobe has an amazing foundation. This is, of course, a great way for Laker fans or just Kobe fans in general to have money to go up against their idol, you know. And Kobe Bryant, say that again.
I'm sorry.
So basically, you bid to play horse with Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant, and what happens is you and a friend or family member will have the opportunity to meet Kobe and play with him at UC Santa Barbara. The game will be played the afternoon of Monday, July 2nd. The winner should arrive at the gym on the UCSB campus no later than 11:30 a.m. Participants may each bring one item to have Kobe sign. And we'll also be able to keep the game ball as a souvenir. Man, this is great stuff. This is great stuff. All proceeds benefit the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Family Foundation's Youth Homelessness Initiative.
Wow.
Now, that's not a great cause. Yeah, this isn't play basketball with kids with cares and none of that stuff. And there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Sorry,
dealing with homelessness, man. Come on, Kobe.
Yeah.
He didn't put this on that's like everywhere around the world, but this is stuff we need to know about right here. Wow. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I'm excited about that. I got another thing. I got one more.
Yeah. Oh, had a little difficulty. Seems that my co-host got dropped. Let me get him back in the room. Please bear with us for the moment, please. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, go for it. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that Diddy's son, Justin.
Oh, yes.
Has been received a scholarship at UCLA. And apparently people aren't too happy about that. You know, some people believe Diddy is taking advantage of his accomplishments, blah, blah, blah. Diddy is a wealthy man, blah, blah, blah. He's a self-made millionaire, blah, 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 blah. Well, the thing is, Justin was awarded a scholarship because Justin put in the work. And he's awarded a full rider athletic scholarship at UCLA because he put in the work. And so if people are upset, you're mad, you think he shouldn't get it, well, then you should have told him, well, you don't get mad if the kid put in the work. I mean, you know, you tell your kid to put the work in. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, he put in the work, he was awarded the scholarship. I said the contract. Who knows? Maybe he's playing sports, so it may lead to a contract. Who knows? But Justin has got a scholarship, and he's going to UCLA, big time college, big time sports school. So that's a fantastic thing. I say congratulations to Diddy and to Justin. For taking it to the next level, going to college, getting his degree, playing some sports. Man, hey, I'm excited. It's good news.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah, a lot of people have been going back and forth with this. And I'm going to tell you this. People have a problem with this. I want to say they're stupid, but they're misinformed. I'll say they're misinformed. Why? Diddy doesn't control the scholarships. The school does. The scholarship money is not taxpayers' money at all. That's money in a slush fund that the school accumulates from where? Boosters and donors and alumni. They put money into the school. Also, that money comes from tuition and all that other stuff. That money comes from various places that's internal within the school. It's not even taxpayers' money. It's strictly their money. And with that said, they can give a scholarship to whoever they feel like it. We can't tell them who to give their money to. I could see if you was an alum of UCLA and you donate a lot of money there, then, yeah, you could have some say because some of that is your money too. But if you didn't give a nickel to the school, please, you have nothing to say. You have absolutely nothing to say because it's the school's money. Number two, it's an athletic scholarship. If you don't understand what athletic scholarship means, as long as he plays football for the school, they'll pay him. Mind you, this is only a $54,000 athletic scholarship. It costs over $100,000 to get a degree out of UCLA. So his pops still got to pony up money so his son can get a degree. Because it costs more than $54,000 to get a degree out of UCLA. More than that. So why people are upset, I don't know. And last and definitely not least, you have to work hard to keep that scholarship. Because if he gets cut, guess what happened? The scholarship goes away. So even after the scholarship, he still had to work to maintain and keep the scholarship. So stop hating on this young man because he put in the work. It's not his fault his daddy's rich. And you would want your daddy to be as rich as his too. So stop hating on him. That's God. They have all kind of scholarships for kids that don't have the money. He has an athletic scholarship, a football scholarship. And that wasn't the only school that offered him a football scholarship. Other Division I colleges offered him a football scholarship. So he's not getting preferential treatment. He's getting treated the way he should based on the work he did. And that's all I got to say. People are just out of control. But with that said, I thank everybody for listening to the show. Me and my host definitely enjoy everyone listening to the show. We had fun tonight. I told you we're going to say some ignorant things, but, hey, that's what we do because we got to push the envelope. You can get this show and all of this show and any of the past shows on iTunes because this show will be on iTunes. Also, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/5G Sports Talk and follow our show. We have a show every Monday and every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We do football Thursdays, so we're doing an NFL review. Definitely check us out. Also, go to our website at www.5gsportstalk.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Join our 5G Sports Roundtable on Facebook. Have a lot of good articles on there. Make sure you check it out. We'll be back here, same bat time, same bat channel, next Saturday, 8 o'clock. Check it out during the week. Until then, we will see you when we see you. Peace.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.